This is Ramsey Radio, the farming and farm machinery podcast from Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
And welcome to Ramsey Radio and episode number 2 in our podcast series. We sincerely hope and really do hope that you enjoyed our first edition with Paul Lange of Centre State Exports. And I believe we have a great episode lined up today. Let's get straight to it. Joining me today is John Gladigo, Executive Director of Bullaburra Farms near Loxton, and the man behind the hugely popular Bullaburra Facebook page, and also the man that champions the Growing the Crop or the Harvesting the Crop Facebook pages. So seasonal name changes depending on what time of the year we're in. So John, fantastic to have you on Ramsey Radio and welcome.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to have a chat.
Looking forward to it. We had a little bit of a chat off channel, mate, and I am genuinely excited. There's plenty to talk about. Obviously, the big thing that we want to cover off today, and I'm sure most of our listeners would be aware of your position and your space in the social media community and impressively the Facebook side of things. And as I mentioned, the Growing the Crop or Harvesting the Crop pages and your very own Bullaburra Facebook page, you did put out an open letter a while back to the non-ag community, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, and just to give our listeners a bit of an understanding, can you give us a bit of a background about your farming heritage and Bullaburra Farms?
Yeah, sure, Tim. Well, I'm actually a third-generation farmer. My family have been in the Northern Mallee since 1956, and our main farm, I guess, that my family's been on is at Alawuna, which is about 30k south of Loxton. In 2009, my wife and I joined together with Robin and Rebecca Schaefer to form a collaborative farm called Bullaburra, where we effectively put our farms together and we run them as one. So we and the Schaefer families are equal partners in Bullaburra, and today we are cropping about 9,000 hectares to cereals and legumes in what we like to think is a more efficient and profitable farming operation. But of course, in the end of the day, it all comes down to what falls out of the sky and how we manage that.
Unfortunately, we can't control the gods above. I've been trying for many, many years.
Yeah, ditto.
Let's get to the main points of your letter. And as I said, it was a letter that you put together and put out there on social media. And it was literally a letter to the non-ag community or the non-farming community. I've read it a number of times. You know, when I did read it, it actually was one of those hair stand up on the back of your neck moments. I guess from the perspective of you're basically just setting the record straight on a few things, and in particular that not all farmers blindly vote for the Nationals. A lot of farmers are concerned and keen to do something about climate change. Farmers actually do care about the environment, that a lot of farmers are actually quite smart and intelligent people, who would have thought, and that farmers aren't trying to kill everyone with dangerous chemicals. So just give us a bit of feedback on some of those points and I guess the letter.
Yeah, well, I think that in many ways that when we have discussions as farmers, these are probably a number of things that come up quite often. When I think we all do get quite frustrated that we get stereotyped and put in a box and told who we actually are, and maybe we as farmers haven't done a very good job of countering that and of communicating it. I think quite often when we have rocks thrown at us, that our reaction is to take a step back and say, well, I'm not going to get into that argument. They can think whatever they like. But because of that, it perpetuates the story, I guess. And the mainstream media do like to portray us a certain way, and it's probably lazy journalism, really, in a way, and in that we can be portrayed as just being this conservative wing of thinkers who don't care about the environment, that don't care about animal welfare. And in some ways, because we know how stupid that argument is and how wrong it is, I think there's a bit of an attitude of why argue with fools. So we tend to take a step back and don't even talk about it. The reality is then that perception becomes reality. And that's what the general public does tend to think. And so this was probably, I got to a point where I was triggered by some things that I saw on social media, and it just got the hairs up in the back of my neck. And I just sat down very late at night, one night actually, and tapped this down and posted it about 2 a.m. and then woke up the next morning and thought, why did I do that?
You broke the cardinal rule, type it now, look at it in 12 hours time and then make a decision.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. But then I probably wouldn't have posted it the next day if that was the case. But But anyhow, the main thing about it, I think, is by doing so, it allows us all to think about how we do talk to people and how we do portray ourselves. And if it creates a conversation even amongst farmers, even if it's not engaging with the non-ag community. If we even have the discussion about how we talk to the non-ag community, I think then that's probably an important thing to do anyhow.
Yeah, absolutely. And you made some really good points in there. And I think given the scenario we're in with the pandemic and a lot of other things going on in the world, you know, you referred to the terminology of lazy journalism, whether we like it or not. And I don't want to be under the criticism of the journalistic fraternities around the place. I think it's a really fair point. So off the back of the letter, from my perspective, it seems like your main point is that the farming community isn't actually that different from the wider community, with a range of people and opinions, which we're always going to get. But pretty basically, you know, we're all pretty much on the same page as the rest of Australia. Would that be fair in your mind when you wrote
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. I mean, if you walk into a room of, even if there's a dozen farmers in the pub, we don't all agree on stuff. You know, we have different views. Certainly, I mean, you could argue that farmers in general probably sit on the right of politics, and that's a generalisation, but that's probably more because they're from the business community, and business community tend to sit more so on the right of politics. But political views still range wildly. If you sit in a room and you start talking about how the government has managed COVID, for example, or managed vaccinations, you'll get wildly different opinions. And I think those views are reflective of the wider community and the non-ag community as well. If you have a group of farmers and you're talking about climate change, you've got people who passionately believe in it and think that we should spend every waking hour looking at how we manage it, to the other extreme of people who actually say it's all a hoax and it doesn't exist, and probably a large chunk that sits in the middle ground trying to work out where it does all fit in. And I think that when I talk to my city cousins or non-ag friends, there's as much of a diversity of opinion on climate change as there is in the ag community. Even people's thoughts on the environment, if we're going to start, you know, having a crack at farmers for the way they manage the environment, which is basically our bread and butter, and yet we don't think too much about destructing prime farmland or forests to extend our cities, and yet we don't seem to make a big fuss about that. So as you say, I think the main thing is that you can't put all farmers into a box, just as you can't put all of the rest of society into a box. And as a general view, I think that the diversity of feeling and opinion in the ag community is very similar to the diversity of opinion in the non-ag community.
Yeah, absolutely. And there isn't a one-size approach to everyone, you know, and I think that's, something that we need to reflect on, a lot of the time, you know, and I guess at the end of the day, it just highlights to the fact that forgetting what we do, we're actually just normal people.
Yeah.
You know, they get up every morning to do what people in the city do, and that's to go to work, to earn an income, to look after your family and enjoy life and, you know, do what you can. So when you take everything out of it, we're all pretty similar.
And it's also the stereotypical, I think, you know, images of farmers, even in that, you know, we all get up at 4:30 in the morning and do 3 hours work before breakfast, and then we're all snoring by 7:30 at night, and because that's what farmers do. And yet, you know, I'm the type of person that my brain doesn't function well before about 8 o'clock in the morning, but I'm still doing stuff at midnight. We're all different people. And yeah. and there's a whole range of different people, you know, within ag, and a whole different values and different personalities, and I think it's important that we understand that and acknowledge it.
Absolutely. Now, you did mention earlier that there obviously was a couple of things that you'd seen that had triggered you to actually sit down late at night when you do obviously some of your best work, and type the letter. Now, obviously, they must have been relatively, you know, provoking to have that immediate response. But obviously, there'd been a little bit of thought just buzzing around in that very busy mind of yours that at a point it was going to get to this.
Yeah, it was. And a bit like you say, it's always sat there as a bit of a dripping tap, which I think it is with most of us, to be quite honest, and it frustrates us. But I was reading a post on social media from someone who shall remain unnamed, because I don't want to give them any oxygen, but where they were basically having a huge crack at the federal government, effectively. And so they had this whole post, and in a whole thread of comments, which was probably in the hundreds or maybe even the thousands on this, where they basically were blaming every problem in Australia on farmers. And the connections were basically that, well, the country's in a mess, so that's the fault of the coalition, of course. The reason the coalition would not be in power if it wasn't for farmers voting for them. The reason the farmers vote for the coalition is because they don't believe in climate change, so they want the coalition in power. But at the end of the day, the poor old farmers, it's not really their fault because they're not actually educated, so they actually don't understand. So I think that's the thing that really got me fired up. And then there was, and then probably the one that got me, which I didn't mention in the letter, was that someone was commenting and got another whole thread of people commenting on the fact that if only farmers were educated enough to understand how chemicals were causing gluten, we would be fine. So yeah, and so that, I think that was really the catalyst. That was the thing that got me a little bit fired up, and I just sat down and just started typing, and this is what's ended up.
Well, I'm sure I speak for many, many people, and hopefully a lot of our listeners, in that the nameless person who will remain that way really, really fired a shot that promoted you to do it, because I think at the end of the day it was a fantastic letter. We keep saying that, and it's great to have the opportunity to sit down and talk about it. So biggest thing on Facebook always seems to be the kind of reaction a post gets, no question at all. I want to get into that. We need to take a quick break, so don't go anywhere, and we'll be back shortly talking to John Gladigo from Bullabarra Farms in just a moment.
Farmall. Since 1923, the most iconic and admired name in the farming world. If you're in the market for a utility tractor, there has never been a better time to turn to Case IH and Farmall. With models ranging from 25 horsepower through to 115, Case IH has a model to fit your need. Call Ramsey Brothers now to uncover the sensational value on our drive-away Farmall deals. With tailored finance packages to approved applicants and great deals on front-end loaders, your time is now. But be quick, as stock is limited. Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Welcome back to Ramsey Radio, and we're talking with John Gladigo from Bullabarra Farms about one of his open letters to the non-ag community. Now, John, I have to ask, what was in some of your other open letters, and how do you think this one was different?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure this one was different. The interesting thing about doing something like an open letter and how far it goes is that you've got to still ask yourself, is it actually effective, and is it actually reaching the right people? So I've done three or four of them. The first one was by far the biggest term, which is one where I basically almost apologised for the way that we haven't really communicated well as farmers, and there's a whole range of topics which we haven't explained ourselves very well, things like how we deal with climate change, how glyphosate works, for example, what are the benefits or not of GMOs, and talking about animal welfare. And that one actually was probably by far the one that had the most reach. I think it got shared directly off of our Facebook page about 6,000 times and had about 5,000 likes and went everywhere, and it got reprinted in magazines across the US and across the UK, and received a huge amount of coverage. Others I've written have been around understanding glyphosate and why we use it, and also on the image of farmers themselves. I think the thing is that, and it's a frustration to me, is that it's all very well to put up posts and get a lot of coverage, but if it's only within the ag community, then we're still just talking within our own echo chamber, and we're only just talking within our own cocoon, and we end up just slapping each other on the backs and saying, yes, yes, and that resonates, and that's fantastic. But
the feel-good moment for ourselves, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a feel-good moment for ourselves, but unless it actually goes further than that, then still no one hears it, and those same people who were on that post that were having a crack at farmers, have I really communicated with them? Have I really talked to them? So in some ways you have to be a little bit provocative and I guess hope that the non-ag people within your communication channels, I suppose, are the ones that will reshare it and get it to their friends, so that actually does reach some of the people that we want to engage with. Because if it's just it sits within ag, it's great, it's fun, and we slap ourselves on the back a bit, but we actually probably don't really get anywhere. And I think there are times, and there are people within ag in Australia where they have broken outside of that cocoon, and stuff's been picked up by the Project or Sunrise or someone, and gets a little bit of exposure. That's the opportunities when we can really take some of these messages and take them further to people who actually will hear. So this one, yeah, certainly it had a really good response, absolutely, and quite a few people from outside ag who come back and sent messages to us at Bullabarra saying thanks for that and the like. But I still think it is one of the big challenges for all of us in ag, of how we can break outside of that that echo chamber and get further. And is it by I don't know. You almost have to do something a bit outlandish so you get noticed, so that you can actually create that platform so you can do that.
And it's interesting, having read all of your letters, and we're obviously referring to the latest one, but, you know, I think your point there is you almost have to do, you know, they do have to be in the very way they're written or portrayed. They have to be provocative in a way, but at the same time, there's got to be informative content and make people realise that there actually is two sides to a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's almost a new way that we have to communicate. There has to be some provocation. There has to be some challenging of something for someone to go, oh, I'm going to read that.
I think the thing that struck me about that with all of not just these letters but anything that we do on social media is that I think the strongest engagement you get with the non-ag community is actually your own friends that are within the non-ag community. So even with this letter, you know, probably the most commentary that I got back was actually from people that I know who aren't in the ag community or friends in the city or from you know, the East Coast, Melbourne, Sydney or whatever, who know me personally and who, because they know me, they trust me as a person. And so because of that, they actually will engage and will listen to me. If I put that same letter in front of someone who didn't know me at all, they're just probably just going to dismiss it one more time as just being a farmer. But if it's somebody that they know and trust, then they're actually going to listen to it. So I think that's a challenge to all of us, I think, is actually about having conversations with people that we know who are in the non-ag community, because they are the ones that we can influence. They are the ones that will take this stuff on board because they know and trust us. They know, they think, well, you know, I've known John for the last 20, 30 years. He's a good bloke. I don't know much about ag, but if John says that that's what it is, then I tend to trust that. You know, I've known Tim for the last 20 years and, you know, he's a great bloke. And I know he does his machinery dealing stuff, but I don't know much about him, but I know he's a good, honest, trustworthy bloke. If he's saying this sort of stuff about ag, or he's sharing this sort of stuff about ag that somebody else is saying, that means he believes it. So I'll give it a bit more credibility. So I think that's really the challenge for us all is not so much to go and try and tell our stories just to everybody and to the whole, you know, to the whole world. It's actually about us having those one-on-one conversations with people that we actually do know and who, you know, we do have some credibility with.
I couldn't agree with you more. The trustworthy thing, you know, in anything we do, has just got to be the backbone of society, you know, followed by that credibility. But I think one of the great things with your visibility and the fact that you've continued down the path of being prepared and being bold enough to take the step and put some of this stuff into the social media space and the wider world, you know, I think your credibility is growing as that trustworthy voice, you know. So I'm going to stand here and say I will certainly support anything else that you do. Positive response and feedback is something that you generally always get. There's always a lot of negative stuff, and that is the downside to social media. But let's just focus quickly on some of these non-ag people. Was the feedback pretty good?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But as I kind of mentioned before, I think most of the real positive feedback was actually from people that I knew, who I guess already had some credibility with, and people who trusted me. In speaking with others who've even shared it and have come back to me and said, thanks for, you know, producing this. And they've turned around and said, because of it, they've turned around and had conversations with their people in the non-ag community. But once again, it's because they've got a connection. And I think that credibility point is just such a big thing. The thing that I do probably do well, if I'm going to say that, where my skill is probably putting things into words that I quite often get other farmers who contact me and say, thanks for saying what I'd like to say or what I think, but I didn't know how to. And, you know, you put into words exactly how I feel, but I could never say it like that. Well, if that's what I can do, that's great. And if those people are then prepared to take the stuff that I've written and share it with their friends, then allows them to have their own conversations, or allows their friends to think, well, okay, so this is what Jack thinks. This is what Charlie thinks, even though it's not his own words. But if Jack or Charlie does actually think that, well, then I'm going to have another look at that because Jack and Charlie have credibility.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's about those personal connections, I think, on the way through. But certainly, we get lots of messages to our Facebook page from people saying, thank you, you know, so much. It did make me have another think about it. And, yeah, I actually did think you all voted for the National Party, but even though we don't even have a National Party here in South Australia, which is kind of ironic.
So there's no question. There's plenty of irony in a lot of the stuff. Some people that I've spoken to and a number of people that I've spoken to have made the comment that you just made. They read the letter And they said, that's articulated exactly what we thought and what we felt for a long time. But I also wanted to ask, do you think there's anything farmers can do to educate the non-ag community about what people in the ag game are actually like?
You know, we talk a lot about having to educate the non-ag community, and it's not probably the language I really like to use. I think more important is that we need to encourage conversations and engagement. I think just as important as educating, if that's the right word, is listening and having conversations with people in the non-ag community. I mean, people have concerns about lots of things. I mean, they have concerns about, well, climate change, of course. So ask them what their concerns are. Talk about that and then use that as a way to say, well, you know, we have similar concerns and this is how we're looking to deal with that. If you're talking about chemicals, and I had someone the other day who had a crack at me about this deadly glyphosate and how you farmers are all out to kill us all, and that was someone I actually knew locally. And I think our defensive point is to say, you know, you're wrong and it's safe and this is why, which is about educating, I suppose. But I think the first step is to say, so what is it you know about it? What are your concerns? You know, it's really important that you are concerned for the health of your family. But so where have you learnt this information from? And then can I tell you a bit about how we go about doing things? And, you know, of course we're concerned about safety and of course we're concerned about our own families as well. But let's just talk about how it all works. So I think it's really about engagement and conversations. And if farmers are not prepared to have listening conversations with people who don't understand ag, then we probably shouldn't be having the conversations at all, to be quite honest.
Absolutely. We're equally concerned about the safety of ourselves and our families as you are. You know, it's not about you're wrong and we're right. Let's have a conversation about it. John, I know you're a busy man, and I really, really appreciate you joining us on Ramsey Radio today and for spreading the message that ag people and non-ag people are all the same in this big country we call Australia. And let's hope that you continue to have those late night moments where if something's bothering you, you put together some really quality material and get it out there. So as I said, mate, really, really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Tim. Really enjoyed the chat.
And that's all from Ramsey Radio for this episode. If you'd like to follow John Gladigo on Facebook, just search Bullaburra, all one word on Facebook, even though it is actually two. And if you'd like to listen more from Ramsey Radio, find us on your favourite podcast app, share us with your friends and subscribe for future episodes. I'm Tim Glover and we'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Ramsey Radio, brought to you by Ramsey Brothers. Find this and all our podcasts on your preferred podcast app or on our website at ramseybros.com.au.